Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In 2 Samuel, the Lord, through the prophet Nathan, prophesied to David the king, "Moreover, Jehovah declares to you that Jehovah will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you sleep with your fathers, I will raise up your seed after you, which will come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. It is he who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Properly understood, this passage constitutes one of the greatest prophecies in the entire Old Testament. In Matthew, in the New Testament, chapter 16, the Lord Jesus makes a similar prophecy to his disciples. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." This passage equally constitutes one of the greatest prophecies in the New Testament as well. God's desire to build a dwelling for himself and for us from the beginning of the Bible through to the very end. Bob Danker has joined us for our fellowship in this final life study program from the books of Samuel. Very happy you could join us, Bob.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Chris. This matter of God's building is perhaps the greatest matter in the entire Bible. Besides God himself, nothing is greater than God's building. And this matter of building, the Bible in the very beginning speaks of building, because in Genesis 2 it says that God took the rib from Adam and he built the woman.
Wow.
This is the very first mentioning of the matter of building. And then we have this matter, of course, throughout the scriptures. You read the verses in 2 Samuel and then in Matthew in the New Testament. The
right.
Lord opens up the New Testament with the matter of building, and building from Genesis to Revelation, this line of building, which of course consummates with the New Jerusalem.
This has very much been the dominant thought of the last portion, at least, of the life study of Samuel, particularly in 2 Samuel. When Witness Lee hit this particular passage that I read again today, we've read it now many times in the previous several programs, from chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, verses 11 through 13 or 14. When he came to this portion, it's like his spirit just landed here, and he didn't stray too far for the rest of the life study, because the revelation here is tremendous. David, of course, was expressing his desire to build something for God because he was so full of praise and thanksgiving for all that Jehovah had accomplished for him, and he felt he owed something back to the Lord, which is an admirable heart to have. But as we've talked about before, Bob, he had nothing really with which to build God a house, as we see, and that's really what the Lord is telling him here. And now at the very opening of the New Testament, as you said, Matthew chapter 16, the Lord makes this tremendous word that has been so overlooked by our brothers and sisters through the ages, and I will build my church. He's not talking about bricks and mortar there, is he?
He's certainly not. And I would say this is the actual fulfillment of this prophecy in 2 Samuel 7. The Lord Jesus is the seed that was prophesied. And in Matthew, he comes forth to do the actual building work.
We see the matter of the building alluded to, maybe not as directly, in many places in the New Testament beyond Matthew 16. Of course, in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul uses the term build again directly, where he talks about the materials, the gold, silver, precious stone. But Ephesians 3, it's a new way of seeing this passage in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that are fairly familiar passages, but to understand it now in this light that God desires to build himself into us for his dwelling place, 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit into the inner man, and then 17, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith. The making home, implying the building, isn't it, Bob?
Absolutely.
And then finally, in John, also the building, this building that's been prophesied is alluded to again. chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make an abode with him." Well, we'll have a chance to talk in a few minutes, Bob, but right now let's join Witness Lee for the first portion of his fellowship today.
God's economy has been unveiled through the apostles already, but it got lost. So there's a need of the recovery. And God's economy is very much centered on one thing. That is, God's unique work through all the ages to work himself into his chosen people, making himself really one with his chosen people in his divinity and in our humanity. To do this, firstly, he comes into us. This is according our side, but according his side, much more has been done. Firstly, as the very God, he became a man. Then he lived on this earth. Then he died. After finishing all these processes in his resurrection and ascension, he becomes the consummated life-giving spirit, ready to enter into us. And with us, the first step is that God does come into us to regenerate our spirit. From here, he is working on and on and on. Not just to put himself in us, not just to increase himself in us, but to build himself into us. Amen. This word "built" or "building" is very striking, unique word that the Bible picks up concerning God's work in us. Paul says he prayed to the Father that the Father would grant us to be strengthened through his Spirit into our inner man, that Christ may make his home. What is to make his home? Building. And such a thought is also carried out in John chapter 14. He who loves me, my Father, and I will go to him to make an abode with him. Not just to enter in, not just to stay, but to make an abode.
Bob, this is one of those instances where I think to find ourselves in one of the more modern translations of the Bible may actually do us a disservice, because this word from the original, we don't use this word abode very often in English anymore, but it's a powerful word, isn't it? Especially when we compare it here in John 14:23 to the Lord's word in Ephesians 3, that he comes to make his home in our heart.
Yes, that's right, Chris. Actually, we can derive a lot from the Greek word, especially in Ephesians 3. This word, the Recovery Version translates "make his home." It really is a variation of the word "house," to house himself. And it even includes a prefix that means "down."
Wow.
So that means the Lord is housing himself down in our being. He's making a home there.
Yeah.
In other words, he's building himself an abode within us, which means he's building himself into us, because we are his abode. And while he builds himself into us, making us his abode, then he automatically builds us into him, making him our abode. So this is a mutual abode, which was referred to by the Lord in John 14:23. The Father and the Son, of course, with the Spirit,
yeah,
will come to make an abode with us. That means that abode is mutual.
Right.
God takes us as his abode, builds himself into us, and makes himself our abode by building us into himself. This is a mingling, what we refer to as mingling in the Scriptures, but it is the process where God builds a mutual dwelling place for himself and all his believers.
Bob, as we open the program again, reading the Lord's prophecy to David through Nathan regarding his desire to build something in David, it's linked there with this matter of the seed. We saw the seed in God's promise to Abraham, and Paul interprets the seed for us in Galatians as Christ. It's related to this building, a seed which is organic and a building which seems to be inanimate. Very closely related, aren't they?
Very closely.
All right, let's look at the passage I think we have all read before in Matthew concerning the seed. When the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the way, and the birds came and devoured them, and others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much earth, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered. And others fell on the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them. But others fell on the good earth, and yielded fruit, 100-fold, 160-fold, and 130-fold. The seed is thriving in some soil. Let's listen to Witness Lee develop this thought for us a bit in this coming portion.
Matthew 13 tells us only one kind of soil is a good soil. That is the soil that affords more nutrients to the divine seed. So John 14:23 says, when the triune God comes to us to make his abode with us, that implies this building has very much to do with what we are. God's building himself is not just with himself. God building himself into us to be the building is with God himself as an element and also with us as something. This is why we need to be strengthened into our inner man, whom we remain in our soul, in our natural man. There would be no nutrients. You see, whom we would be strengthened into our inner man. That means just exercising our spirit, paying attention only to our spirit. Then nutrients will be here. Then Christ can make his home. Even here in Ephesians 3, it is indicated something from us is needed. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't need to pray for us, that God may grant you through the Spirit. That is God's essence. The Spirit actually is the consummation of the triune God. That's himself. God strengthens us with himself as the element. Through Christ, with this element, plus our kind of authority, that the nutrients could carry out his intrinsic building in our entire being. The Bible is very consistent. So when the Bible gets to the end, what comes out? The New Jerusalem is a conclusion of the divine revelation. It's from the 66 books. The conclusion of the divine revelation is just a building.
Bob, he finished here by opening up a big topic, this matter of the New Jerusalem. How about we hold that till our final segment today? We get a chance to talk about that. I want to come back to this portion related to the seed again to see this consistency and how this development really reinforces the thought we've been talking about today and God's desire to build himself into us as his and our ultimate abode.
Yes, Chris, this is a marvelous matter. The Lord did give this very mysterious parable in Matthew 13. He told his disciples that he would sow a seed. He was a sower.
Yeah.
Sowing the seed. And the seed, of course, is the word that contains Christ himself as the life element. So actually, the way Christ builds the church as God's and our abode is to sow himself as the seed of the divine life into our inner being, and then to grow there in our heart. He sows himself into our spirit, but he grows in our heart. And we know our heart is mainly our mind, emotion, and our will. And we also know that for any seed to grow, the seed is the motivating working element, but it needs something from the soil, doesn't it?
Right.
When a seed grows, the plant that results from that growth is not just the seed, it's the seed plus the soil.
Yeah.
So for Christ as the seed to grow in us, it needs not only something from him, but also something from us. And Brother Lee referred to Paul's prayer that God would strengthen us, the Father would strengthen us with power through his Spirit into our inner man, that Christ may make his home. So this shows that when we are in our spirit, when we're strengthened, our whole being is strengthened into our regenerated spirit, then we can afford this seed the needed nutrients so that it can grow. And this growing of the seed is synonymous with Christ making his home in our heart. He takes up his residence in our inner being, and this is building. So actually, the way he builds himself into us is by sowing himself into us as a seed and then growing in us, and I would say with us, as we supply him the nutrients from our very being to mingle with him. This is a mysterious matter, but it's here in the Word, and this is the very basic aspect of the building.
So David's fundamental problem, having the desire but not having the material with which to build something for God that God could receive, accept, and ultimately dwell in, is solved by seeing this connection with the seed being planted and then growing up and developing. What's growing in there is the material that is suitable for the building.
Absolutely.
It's God's divine life in Christ through the Spirit being wrought into us. And the implications are so tremendous. I'd like to read just a couple of verses from Ephesians, again now chapter 1. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the operation of the might of his strength, which he caused to operate in Christ, in raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavenlies? Bob, that means the same power that raised Christ from the dead is now operating in us.
Marvelous.
Marvelous is right. All right, let's go back to Witness Lee for our final portion.
To serve the Lord, yes, we have to save sinners. We have to feed the saints. We have to perfect them. We have to raise them up. That's right. But if you do not know and you do not understand, to work is to just minister God. What can God? The building God. What can God? The builder God. He's not only building God, but also the builder God. If you do not know this, all your work will be wood and hay and stubble, not gold, silver, and precious stones. So, if you see this, you would stop all kinds of your activities. You would think, what? My work is just wood, hay, and stubble. I save a lot of persons. Yet not much God wrought into them. Reconsider about your work. Yes, you have done much, but reconsider how much Christ has been wrought into the people you have brought to God. If we would be sincere and genuine, we have to drop our head. Oh, what a shame. I brought 1,000 people to God. How many has really God wrought into them? Just practice one thing, to get people saved, to minister Christ into them, even more, minister the process trying God, building and build that into their inner man. This is what we should do today. In feeding the believers, in perfecting the saints, in prophesying, whatever we do, this must be the very intrinsic element of our work. And this must be our goal. Remember, God, the processed, consummated, triune God, embodied in Christ, and realized as the consummated Spirit, this God whom we worship, whom we preach, whom we minister to others, is today building himself into his chosen people with something from their redeemed, uplifted humanity to have a house. And this house is the church, is the body of Christ. And this house is the enlarged, expanded Christ.
Bob, this is at the same time high and deep and mysterious. But I think we've all seen at least a glimpse, and it must have a life-changing consequence, mustn't it?
Yes, we have to realize that the only material that is suitable for the building up of God's dwelling place is Christ. We cannot build God's dwelling place with anything out of our natural humanity. This is simply not the proper material. The material that is qualified is gold, silver, and precious stones, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. This is just the triune God himself.
Yeah.
So this triune God must be wrought into our being. He must be constituted into us to make us one with him, to make us, in a sense, him, the same as he is in life and nature. Then we are qualified to join the Lord in doing the building work, because we have the materials for the building that have been wrought into our being. Then when we minister to others, what is ministered to them is Christ, the very Christ who has been built into us. We build into others, or we minister to others so that he can be built into them. You see, David was short of Christ. He had no way to build God a dwelling place because he did not have Christ wrought into him. And if we do not have Christ wrought into us, we're the same as David.
Right.
We have no way to help to build God's dwelling place. So the main thing, if we want to be the builders, we must have Christ wrought into us. If we want to be the building, we must have Christ wrought into us. This is the bottom line, so to speak, or the main point, that we need this wonderful Christ as the embodiment of the triune God to build himself into our being.
This word to David, actually the vision of it was there in the Old Testament, but God took a faithful servant, Nathan, to bring this revelation to help David in his time, in his age. How thankful are we, Bob, here in the last program of this life study that God had a faithful, at least one, probably many more, but surely the one that we have been blessed to be presenting to the listeners for all these years now, one who would bring this faithful word to benefit us as well.
We should give the Lord our eternal praise for this.
I'm sure David is thankful to the Lord for Nathan. Without exalting these ones, we do acknowledge how the Lord has used them.
Yes.
All right, well, that is it for this life study of Samuel. We do have the printed volume still available. If you'd like to contact us, you get all the printed messages from both 1 and 2 Samuel.
I do look forward to that, Chris.
And as our time is up, let us just say once again, thank you for listening. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wilde.